A week or so ago, I brought up the fact that some 8% of Americans believe that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. 8%, only 8% of some 325 plus million people in America. This morning, what I want to do is I want to speak from the book of Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and speak about starting strong in the Christian life, but finishing well. The church, I believe, has one mission, God-given assignment. I believe it's the reason that you and I are here this morning, and that is to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ and to inspire them to live a Christ-centered life. From the very beginning, from its inception, the church was to be unique from every other religious institution that came before it or that would come after it, because it was never to be centered around religion and getting people to be religious. It was centered around a relationship and trying to get people to have a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Even in those early days of the church, a problem cropped up that still is in operation today. You see, the church was meant to be centered around the message that focused on three words: God, grace, and the gospel. It would be the most revolutionary message that had ever been declared. Simply put, the gospel is this: that everyone can have a relationship with God and be accepted by God because of His wonderful gift of grace. Grace was provided by the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ when He went to the cross and said, "Tetelestai, it is finished." Jesus came to shed His blood for the remission of sins. He did it once and for all. Let me tell you, even in the early church, there were religious leaders that came. They came in with God, grace, and the gospel, but they wanted to add to it rules and regulations and restrictions. So there was a battle that ensued between the relationship crowd and the religious crowd, and that is still going on in the 21st century. People have left churches in droves because they were either given the idea or they got the idea that following God is about a bunch of do's and don'ts. And untold numbers of people don't darken the door of the church because they have this image that the church cares about, all the church cares about is to follow rules, to abide by regulations, and to obey their restrictions. Well, here in the book of Galatians, a man by the name of the Apostle Paul had taken this wonderful message of God and grace and the gospel to an area that you and I would know today as modern-day Turkey. It was taken to a community that was filled with Gentile believers. Gentile believers, young people, were anybody that was other than Jews. And he shared this revolutionary message that God wanted to accept them into His family by grace, and the only ticket they needed was faith. You see, the door had been opened by the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who dying on the cross and rising from the dead and shedding His blood for the remission of sins. To be clear, that does not mean that when you and I receive the wonderful gift of grace that we can go out and just live life any way we want to live it. Let me tell you, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, in our text for this morning, as we have just looked at when Paul was writing to these Gentiles in the church at Galatia. There were some people, they were Judaizers, they were Jews, they had professed faith in Christ, but they came into the church by basically saying, Jesus is not enough. You've got to be circumcised, you've got to keep the law, you've got to obey the commandments, or God will not accept you. By the way, they had some 635 commandments that you were to obey. And so the whole point of the book of Galatians is that because of God and the grace of God and the gospel of God, we are free from the shackles of legalism. Our acceptance of God is not up to our performance. Our acceptance of God is based on His provision at the cross. We don't have to be good enough for God. Jesus was good enough for all of us. And once we accept Jesus by faith and receive His wonderful gift of grace, we are completely accepted into the family of God. Now, where the church is supposed to be all about redemption and reconciliation, there's always been a movement to turn it back to religion, which is all about rules and regulations and restrictions. Not long before Muhammad Ali passed away, he was asked about what he saw in the future. And Muhammad Ali said, I just want to get to heaven, and I've got to do a lot of good deeds to get there. I want you to hear me out this morning. Track with me this morning. Once you make the I've got to do anything in order to be accepted by God, you just took an exit off the freeway of freedom that will lead you to a dead end of slavery. You see, the drumbeat that Paul is sounding here in the book of Galatians is my performance has nothing to do with God's acceptance. My acceptance is based on God's provision of grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. And whenever people hear rules and regulations and restrictions instead of God's grace and the gospel, people leave churches for the same reason people get a divorce. They fall in love with an ideal, which then becomes an ordeal, and they want a new deal. Let me tell you, the way that God starts with you is the way God wants you to finish well. You start with God through grace and through faith, and that's the way you finish the way God wants you to finish, not bound up in legalism, but liberty in Christ Jesus. In order to do that, what do? First of all, we look to the Son. Paul is being both a compassionate pastor, he's being a wise counselor. He realizes there's always going to be a struggle in really believing and accepting that God just accepts us because of His grace, and it has absolutely nothing to do with how good we are or how bad we've ever been. He's appealing here not only to the head of these Gentiles, but he's appealing to their heart. You will see immediately that Paul seems somewhat frustrated because he's crystal clear in his message that he preached and they heard, and now they're confused. Paul said, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. Paul had clearly preached to them on how Jesus had done everything that was necessary on the cross for them to be accepted by God. He had freed them from the notion that somehow they had to be good enough in order for God to love them and for God to accept them. I know a lot of people today that say, I just can't be good enough. Oh, someday I'll think about it, Pastor. Someday I will give my life to Jesus, but I just am not good enough to do that. Folks, it's not how good you are. It's not how bad you've ever been. Let me tell you, it's all because of grace. God's incredible gift. He is offering his gift of grace to the world today, this morning. While you and I are gathered here, the Holy Spirit of the living God lives in your heart if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But I want you to know the Holy Spirit this morning is all going all over the world, searching hearts, looking for people who will reach out through faith and receive God's acceptance through his wonderful gift of grace. Notice two words that Paul called the Galatians. He called them foolish. That literally means without knowledge or reason. He appeals to their head. He's saying, in essence, you're being illogical. You're being unreasonable once you truly understand who Jesus is, and not only that he died on the cross, and what he did on the cross was to make a final payment for all of our sins and gave us an absolutely free ticket that always grants us access to God. It makes absolutely no sense to add anything else to Jesus or to rescind or amend his free offer of grace. In other words, once you truly experience Christ, you don't want to add to him or turn away from him. Why would anyone do that? When you think about the various religions of the world, it's all about something you've got to do, something you've got to continually do. Paul is appealing to these Galatians' head and to their heart. He said, not only did he call them foolish, he said, you've been bewitched. That means to look at with an evil eye or to cast an evil spirit. If you're under a spell, you're not thinking the way you ought to think. You're not seeing things the way you ought to see them. And the vast majority of this world this morning, I believe, has been bewitched with the spell that they can work their way to God, they can earn their way to God, and that they can keep rules and abide by enough regulations in order to be accepted by God. There's two problems with that. If you believe that works are going to get you to heaven, you're sadly mistaken. If you believe that you've got to keep all kinds of regulations, you're sadly mistaken, because the problem with that is this. If that's true, then it would make Jesus' death on the cross meaningless. And secondly, the problem would be it would put you in an impossible situation, because then you've got to answer the question, how perfectly do I have to follow these rules, and how many of these do I have to keep in order to have this personal relationship? What restrictions must I observe, and whose restrictions? You see, once you begin to answer these questions, you just left the freedom of grace, and you're right back in the bondage of legalism, trying to keep commandments and obey laws. You just voluntarily put yourself into the handcuffs of religion and legalism, and the only key that will unlock those handcuffs and open that prison door is the cross of Jesus Christ, which the Apostle Paul is reminding the Galatians about. Look in chapter 3, verse 1. Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. That word crucified, that verb there, is in a tense. It refers to something that happened in the past, but its effects are permanent, and they continue in the present and in the future. And Paul paints a picture of Jesus on the cross as the fountain from which the river of grace and mercy and peace flows. These Galatians had seen that Jesus is not just what they needed, but Jesus is all they need. Let me tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is all you need. These Galatians understood what we need to understand, that the gospel is not an invitation to do anything to get God's acceptance. It's a declaration of what God has done for you at Calvary, what Jesus did there on the cross. Let me tell you, when Jesus said, "For God so loved the world," John said, John 3:16, say it with me, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." These Galatians were guilty of spiritual treason, because to say that Jesus is inadequate, Jesus is insufficient, and to add anything to Jesus other than his shed blood, his grace, would be an insult to Jesus. And if you don't see that Jesus is enough, then you'll never know when enough is enough, because nothing will ever be enough. And that's why you and I will always emphasize Jesus. We'll always emphasize grace. We'll always emphasize the good news of the gospel. We will always look to the Son, Jesus Christ. Secondly, this morning, if you want to start strong and finish well, secondly, we live in the Spirit. Paul cuts right to the chase, and he asks the Galatians a question that needed to be answered clearly and concisely. In verse 2, "I would like to learn just one thing from you," Paul said. "Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard?" You see, Paul only has one question, and he knows that once they answer this question truthfully, they will in effect have settled their own problem. Then he gives the classic definition of what is a Christian. You see, to be a Christian means that you have received the Spirit of God, or when you received the Spirit of God, then you became a Christian. But here's the dilemma. The Spirit of God never bypasses the Son of God. The only way the Spirit of God will come into you is because of the cross of Jesus Christ and his wonderful grace. It's not just enough to hear the gospel with your ears. It's not just enough to believe the gospel in your head. You must receive the gospel into your heart. And when you believe in the Son of God, you receive the Spirit of God. And he is the only one that makes you different. He is the one that changes your life. And the question is not when they received or what they received, but how they received it. And it wasn't by observing the law. It wasn't by keeping the rules and regulations. It was not by observing the restrictions. It was simply they heard the gospel and they received God's free gift of grace. The only reason Paul is writing this letter is because there had been a spiritual change in their lives. Change had been brought about when they heard and believed about the Son of God, and they invited him into their life, and the Spirit of God was living in them, and he's asking them to go back to that experience of when they heard about Jesus and grace. Let me ask you a question. Think back with me this morning through your mind. Do you remember that day when you trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? These young people here, many of them made professions of faith at Falls Creek. Young people, I want you to know it was at Falls Creek that I surrendered my life to special service to do what I'm doing today. And I want you to know, I want you to think back this morning. Do you remember the day? Do you remember the hour? Do you remember where it was? Do you remember what was being preached? Do you remember when the Holy Spirit moved upon your heart and you realized you were lost and you needed Jesus? Let me tell you, it didn't happen to me when I got baptized. It didn't happen to me when I tried to do a good deed. It didn't happen to me when I put money in the church offering. It didn't happen to me for something that I did. It happened to me one Sunday night in a little country church listening to the gospel being proclaimed. Let me tell you, you're going to buy into one of two different ways to get to God and be accepted by God. Let me tell you, legalism and many religions would say the way of the law and the legalist, which means you achieve and you receive. Grace is the gospel you believe and receive. You can't earn the Holy Spirit. You can't buy the Holy Spirit. You can't borrow the Holy Spirit. You can't beg the Holy Spirit. You cannot steal the Holy Spirit. You only receive the converting Spirit of God when you believe in the crucified Son of God. And that's exactly what Paul was saying happened to these Galatians. The gospel was preached. They heard it. They believed it. They received it. And without baptism, without circumcision, no keeping commandments, no works, they just received the Spirit of God and God's acceptance. But let me tell you, once you do receive Jesus, you will want to work for Him. Let me tell you, when you receive Jesus, if you don't want to do anything for Jesus, you better check out your salvation experience. Let me tell you, when you receive Christ, you will want to do for Him. Paul was exasperated here, verse 3. He said, "Oh, you, and are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh?" You see, how God starts with you is how God finishes with you. Well, how does God start with you? How does God start with me? With grace. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sins. You see, how you start with God is the way you finish with God. And how you start with God is your faith and His wonderful gift of grace. Let me tell you, if you want to start strong, if you want to finish well for Jesus, then first of all, look to the Son, Jesus Christ, Him crucified, shed blood to cover your sins and to rise victoriously over death, hell, and the grave. We look to the Son. Secondly, if you want to start good, finish well, live in the Spirit. And then third and lastly this morning, if you want to start strong and finish well, then look to the Scripture. In a stroke of genius, Paul wants to send a message not just to the Galatians, but to these Judaizers that had come into the church, these who wanted to add to grace. They wanted to add something beyond what Jesus had done. And let me tell you what he does. He goes back to the old Jewish family of Father Abraham. Look in verse 6. He says, "So Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." You see, in the first five verses, Paul is referring the Galatians back to their experience. But now he takes them back to the Scripture. This is something you and I need to hear more than ever in this 21st century and in this culture that you and I are living in this morning. You never ever judge Scripture by your experience. You judge your experience by Scripture. What's right is not what you think is right or feel is right. It's what God's Word says is right. Let me tell you, young people, the world will tell you this is wrong. The world is wrong. Let me tell you what is right. What is right is what God says. The litmus test of truth is not our emotion. It's the Word of God. And it all goes back to the first book of the Bible, to when Abraham started with God and God started with Abraham. And the story is very simple, purely out of God's grace, not because of anything Abraham had done. God chose Abraham and he makes a promise to Abraham that if Abraham will follow him and obey him, he would make of him a great nation, and he would be a great blessing to the entire world. And the nation was Israel, and the blessing God was going to bless with was Jesus. Abraham simply believed God. He took God at his word, and he followed God all the rest of his life. And at that moment, Abraham was justified. What does that big word justified mean? It means as if he had never sinned. God credited his account with perfect righteousness. In other words, God fully and God completely. And finally, he accepted Abraham. And in effect, Paul is saying to these Judaizers that had come into the church, these legalists, to these people that were more concerned about religion and rule keeping than they were about a relationship, he is encouraging them to take note that God accepted Abraham, and Abraham had not been circumcised. He had not kept the law, because the law had not even been given at that time. Why did God start with Abraham? Grace. How did Abraham start with God? Faith. You see, the God of the Old Testament is no different than the God of the New Testament. He's the same God. Do you know how Abraham was saved? By faith. Do you know how you and I get saved? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We just believe. We believe by faith that Jesus came. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He rose from the dead. He offers eternal life. The Bible says, to whomsoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you ever just one day realized there's nothing that I could ever do? It's all of what he did 2,000 years ago when he hung on a cross and shed his blood. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he's coming again one day. Let me ask you a question. What do I have to do to be saved? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, you believe, you receive, you accept it by faith. Folks, let me tell you, there's a lot of people in the world this morning. They're on the wrong road. They're on the wrong path. And Jesus said, broad is that way that leads to destruction. Jesus said, many people go in thereat. But he said, narrow is the way. Narrow is the way. And that way is because of his wonderful gift of grace. I don't have to do anything for it. I just have to believe by faith that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and receive that wonderful gift of grace. In the book of Revelation, the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You see, Jesus is knocking. All over the world, he's knocking. He wants to be invited in. He will never force his way in on you. He said, if you open the door, I will come in and sup with you and you with me. He's extending an invitation this morning. Will you receive his gift to you through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you stand as we pray together?